had an epiphany, Trevor. I was like Muslims or Manilow.
Thank you for finding the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan with all the latest radio news from Stu Clarkson, another dip into David Lloyd's archive of radio moments, and a catch-up with one of our old friends who swapped Leicester Square for the Hollywood Hills.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
He's been a child star, a magician, an aviation correspondent. He's hosted TV shows. There's nothing this man can't do. But he's best known to us through stints on LBC and Smooth Radio. And now, as he says to me in an email, he is living the dream. That's because Anthony Davies is living in Laurel Canyon. Woo! What are you doing over there, Ant?
Well, that's a very good question, Trevor. I am looking after my daughter in a completely new life, really. It just feels like a rebirth. She's one, I'm 42, and I've always wanted to live in the Hollywood Hills. I've known about Laurel Canyon because of the music history, and Carole King wrote Tapestry here, and Jim Morrison used to live around the corner. I mean, it's a real hippie place. It's very calm. It's a real contrast to the hustle and bustle of Hollywood, which is just 5 minutes down the hill. And I feel like a new man here. I know that sounds really cheesy, but hey, why not? Have you tasted American cheese?
Well, we'll talk about your professional life in a minute, but just let's stick with Laurel Canyon. I first heard of it when John Mayall made that blues album in the late 60s called Blues from Laurel Canyon. And I know it, as you said, from Joni Mitchell and Frank Zappa. And I think I did some filming with Fleetwood Mac there years ago. It is really beautiful, but I wonder if it's as beautiful as it used to be or whether that's just kind of in your mind.
I think every place changes over time, but it's often about the mind of the person who's travelling. And, you know, if you are in a certain place in your life and you seek sanctuary or solace or just a change of pace, and for me, the rat race in London, and I live right in the heart of the West End, and, you know, it's very hard to escape the just the speed at which everything is done in town. And so, yeah, up here, it's calm, it's quiet, it's beautiful. Everybody talks to each other. The neighbours are all lovely. I met all my neighbours within the first week. After 40-odd years in London, I still don't know who lives next door. Funny that. So, yeah, it depends on what's in your heart. And I was ready for a change. The trees, the sunsets. I mean, you should measure your life on how many great sunsets you've seen rather than on how many great radio stations you've worked for.
So just going back to British radio, talk to me about LBC, which I think we still know you best from. Which era were you there?
I always think it's funny that having just done 3 years on Drive Time on a station that has got 6 million listeners, that people still know me for LBC, which I did for 8 years during, I think, its most, its greatest period of growth. So when I joined LBC, which must have been 2006, 2007, round about then, we had 450,000 listeners. I think David Lloyd was my boss then. And during the change, which was obviously when Global took it over and it eventually moved from Bramley Road over to the Global HQ in Leicester Square, when I left LBC 3 years ago, it had 1.3, 1.4 million listeners, and now it's up to about 1.8, approaching the 2 million mark, thanks to the efforts of James Rea. So, yeah, I mean, I was there during the change, during the rebirth, and it was an amazing place to work because when I joined, I got in as a comic, really, and as a London expert. And when I left, I was a journalist who'd been on the night that Nelson Mandela died. So a huge shift. And it was one of the greatest kind of professional periods of my life, for sure.
You were there when David, or at least members of his team, I'm not sure, invented that phrase, London's big conversation, which has become leading Britain's conversation. It's found a niche, hasn't it, I guess, is what I'm saying, under David and beyond, because there were so many struggles trying to make LBC work. Did you, in the end, are you suggesting that you felt a bit uncomfortable with the direction it was going?
Not at all. I didn't feel uncomfortable. In a way, I almost felt like it was me growing up and the station growing up. And in the process, I had to shift from being a comedian, which is kind of how I got in, to being a journalist. And I really enjoyed that transition because I love the news. I've always been a news junkie. I love politics and have done ever since I worked as a warm-up man on political TV shows with Andrew Neil and Nikki Campbell. I mean, they kind of taught me just from watching them work every night doing kind of live TV. So I feel that it was an apprenticeship, really, and a great apprenticeship. We had some amazing producers who kind of guided me. I think having an iPad, I think iPad is the greatest invention for radio because it's like your digital producer. You know, if you type on it with the clicks turned off, nobody can hear you. And if you need to know a date or the name of someone you've forgotten or to reference something in history, the information is there immediately. So, yeah, I mean, I think I got lucky to work for a station during its greatest period of growth. And I'm so proud of LBC, and I continue to be so proud of LBC.
Well, let me ask you then how you did get the job. And in the context of the interview I did a couple of weeks ago, I don't know whether you heard it, with Danny Baker, who can't get work on local radio in London. You know, what was it about you and your shtick, do you think, that endeared you to the employers at that time?
Well, if Danny Baker can't get work, then how's anybody else going to get work? Because, you know, he's got something really special. And I think an intellect is probably the best place to start if you're going to do radio. And I think that goes for music as well as speech. I actually think that music radio is harder than speech radio because it's far more scientific and you've got to get it right. And you've only got 10 seconds to say it. Whereas with speech radio, you can just kind of bumble around. But I got my job through the weirdest way, and it's so hard to get work in radio, just getting in. And I spent years sending in demo tapes and not getting anywhere. And eventually Francis Curry, I think, picked me up and tried to get me on Heart, and I did demos for Heart, and I just couldn't be serious. He didn't want any jokes. He was just like, just do the links, you know, ride the donut, as it were. And I've always thought, as an entertainer, I've always thought, well, surely if you listen to the radio, you either want to be informed, as in the news, or be entertained, as in made to laugh. And I presume that a music station, every link had to have a gag in it. And that's not what they were after at the time. And so it just didn't work. And then I think I got passed to Mark Browning, who kind of got me on doing some comedy voice stuff on the Heart Breakfast show. And eventually I got in front of Scott Solder, who was running LBC, and he was very nice, but he just said, look, we'll keep you on file. And that's often what you hear, and it's the most devastating sentence in any career. And so I decided, having been into the building a few times, to just keep going back without an appointment and just hang around the reception area in the foyer. And even outside of Brambley Road, you know, there was this kind of forecourt entrance to the brewery. So I used to stand around there and pretend to be on my phone in the hope that I would bump into somebody. And I went in every week for 6 months, and I would hang around and eventually get to know a few people. And then finally, and this really is the stuff of dreams, one guy came out and recognized me. His name was Tim Allen, who I think went on to work at the World Service. And he was a producer, and he was like, hi, Anthony, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, meetings, you know. And it turns out Tim Allen used to be one of my trainees on hospital radio. I taught him to do radio. And so, you know, I'd known him a long time, although we hadn't been in touch that much. And he asked me what I was up to. And before you knew it, I got a phone call saying, would you like to come and cover an overnight on LBC? And it was amazing. Caught me off guard. And it went really well. And I then ended up doing a year of covers on LBC before being offered a full-time gig, which then lasted another 7 years. So I kind of did 8 years on LBC.
So what moved you from LBC to Smooth? I think a lot of people were surprised by that when it happened.
Well, it was no surprise to me, partly because I knew it was happening, and also because music radio was where I started, on Jazz FM and The Jazz, which you may remember was a small digital station that was started and canned by Fru Hazlitt under GCAP. So I did mid-mornings on both those stations, and I loved doing music. And also, Smooth Radio was born out of Jazz FM, so I kind of had form in that genre. I had a particularly harrowing LBC show one night where we were talking about the hijab, the Muslim veil, and whether it caused offence to non-Muslims seeing people like head to toe in a veil. And it was full on. I mean, it was 3 hours of this debate one night. And I remember coming out the studio at 1 a.m. and walking out of LBC and walking past the new Smooth studio. Global had just acquired Smooth, and it was a gorgeous studio. And you know what us anoraks are like. We love a new studio, you know, like kit. Show me the desk. So I was thinking to myself, and they were playing a Barry Manilow song over the ring main, and I could hear it as I was walking by. And I kind of had an epiphany, Trevor. I was like, Muslims or Manilow? And I'm a big Manilow fan. And before you knew it, I was talking to Richard Park and I said, look, I think I could do you a killer drive time show, because between you and me, I really wanted to get off late nights and there wasn't much prospect of leaving the 10 p.m. show on LBC because it was going so well. So before you knew it, a few secret demos later, and he gave me Drive on the Smooth Network, which was an absolutely dream gig for me. And the rest, as they say, is mystery.
So tell me briefly, if you will, what you're doing on the telly. We don't like to talk about the dark side on this podcast, as you can imagine, but what are you actually in America to do professionally?
Well, these days, if you're going to be a presenter or a host, as they call us out here, you have to have a speciality. You can't just be a general Ryan Seacrest-style presenter. You really need to have something to hang your hat on, either to be an architect or a chef or similar. And my speciality became aeroplanes because I learned to fly, and I fly regularly. I love commercial airlines, and I can tell you which is the best seat on which plane going in which direction at any time, which is less fun for my friends, loads of fun for me. And so I started doing TV appearances whenever there was a plane crash, and it seems like there are more plane crashes than ever. Statistically, there aren't, but there's so much more media now and people like me going on TV to talk about them. So that became my thing, and I did an awful lot of TV appearances over the last few years. And someone somehow saw me and offered me a TV show out here to host, which I can't really talk about because I'm under a kind of NDA and a six-month contract. But it's potentially a network TV show with me as host about plane crashes. So it's kind of perfect.
Excellent. Well, as a big fan of aircraft investigation, the History Channel show, I wish you well with that. I find them rather compelling. Now, moving to the United States of America at this precise period seems like madness. How are you getting on with the country of the Donald?
Well, it's no different to Brexit, Trevor. I mean, in my opinion,
fair
it's
point.
The same vote. Voting for Donald Trump is no different to voting to leave the EU. I think it's a dispossessed generation reaching out to the unknown because they don't trust the status quo, or maybe they've fallen for the yarns that politicians have spun them. And I think that's such a shame. You know, we should be more educated than ever thanks to the internet, and we should be, you know, reading up on the truth. And instead we kind of, I don't know, we're so busy. I think everyone's so busy working, trying to make enough money to live, that they ignored how the world was changing. And that's certainly the case here in America. And we now have a reality TV star as the President of the United States, which is kind of remarkable. So I don't think you should let it affect you, though. I think this is really important, both in England with Brexit, if that's your, you know, doesn't follow your political leanings. I think you've got to live your own life. I think you need to make your own choices and live your own life, and don't allow for politics to affect you in any great way, if you can. My brother, who moved to LA 4 years ago, I mean, he never even watches the news. He doesn't even know who the president is. And I think you can do that here. I think this country is big enough and LA is enough of a bubble that it's perfectly possible to live your life and not be affected by the Prince of Darkness.
And what about your radio listening?
My radio listening in America is, well, it's a gift, really, because we have so many stations, but I've narrowed it down in my car to two. I listen to K-Earth 101, which is for music, and they seem to have a very small rotation of around 200 songs, mostly the Eagles, which I'm really happy with, because when you're zooming down Mulholland Drive with the greatest view on Earth and Hotel California blaring through your speakers, then that's not such a bad thing. But speech radio-wise, because I'm left-leaning and most talk radio over here is right-wing, I have settled on NPR, which arguably is the best. National Public Radio has kind of all sorts of local opt-ins, which is really interesting. It's like Radio 4 for positive people. You know, for me in England, people didn't really listen to Radio 4. They just had it on, which is why its radar is so big. But I can actually listen to NPR, and it's fascinating. And so that's really my favourite. I had K-Earth 101 on for drive time the other day, and it started with the handover, and the drive time presenter was like, "Hey there, so now it's time for 40 minutes of non-stop music." And I just really felt for him. I was like, it's so soul-destroying to get a gig, a really good gig as a presenter, and then to have to introduce 40 minutes of non-stop music. I mean, it's like, do you actually need me here at all?
Well, Anthony, good luck. You're going to have a good time. It's not possible to have a bad time, I don't think, in the Hollywood Hills. When do we see you back over here?
Well, the problem with coming to a place like this is you don't want to go home. So I'm going to be here for the foreseeable. It's a better place to bring up my daughter. She's one. So I'm kind of the house husband, and it's an absolute privilege to be able to do that. It's the hardest job I've ever had, looking after a little girl. So that's where I'm at. I'll be back in a few years, maybe. I'd love to do radio again. I'd love to do some remote radio from here. As you can hear, I've got a beautiful Electrovoice RE20 mic, which is very American. So, yeah, who knows what the future will hold?
Well, I'm going to unilaterally appoint you Radio Today's Laurel Canyon correspondent.
Well, let's hope there's not too many news stories that come out of this town.
Thanks very much for talking to us today, Anthony. It's always a pleasure. And
thank you, Trevor. It's my pleasure. And keep up the great work.
That was Anthony Davis. And this is Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Trevor. Here are this week's top stories from radiotoday.co.uk. And Heart 80s is here. Global's launched another station nationally on the D1 multiplex this week, with Roberto on breakfast every morning playing nothing but 80s music. Figures from Radio Centre this week show that commercial radio brought in £645.8 million in advertising revenue in 2016. That's a new record high and is up 5.4% on the previous year. Sky remains the biggest advertiser on UK radio, spending £19.4 million a year. Two big global departures this week. Capital Yorkshire's Danny Oakes has left The Breakfast Show after 14 years with the station, citing personal reasons for his departure. Meanwhile, Radio X Breakfast on-air producer Dave Masterman is switching sides and joining Bauer. He'll start at Absolute Radio after Easter as executive producer on the station, working on shows by Dave Berry, Jason Manford and Christine O'Connell. The former Capital and Magic presenter Neil Fox is doing a Radio Academy event in Bristol later this month. He'll be in conversation at Heart Bristol on the 22nd of March, with the event being broadcast live on In Radio. Five Live's Fighting Talk is going on the road, with seven live shows announced for throughout the year. Colin Murray will take the panel to Glasgow, Liverpool, Lincoln, London, Newcastle and Belfast between now and October. And congratulations this week to Heart London's Breakfast Show, which picked up the two radio prizes at the annual Trick Awards. Emma Bunton was named Radio Presenter of the Year, while Jamie and Emma won in the Digital Radio Programme category. That's it for this week. There's more news, of course, every single day at radiotoday.co.uk.
Thank you, Stu. David Lloyd after this.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
David Lloyd Radio. Moment.
Here's one anniversary this week which nearly didn't exist. Happy 15th birthday to this station.
The first BBC music station in 32 years.
This isn't just music. This is Six Music.
From the BBC.
Good morning, it's Monday, the 11th of March 2002, and you're listening to Six Music from the BBC. My name is Phil Jupitus. I'll be your host for the next year. How you doing? As you probably know, we've been having something of a vote on the internet for the first record to be played on Six Music, and you're probably wondering, Phil, who's won?
Ash, launching Six Music, or Network Y, as it was known beforehand, this week in 2002. Well, as BBC Local Radio, alongside the rest of the BBC, gives some thought to how it might run itself more economically in the long term, let's remember that BBC Locals weren't always as they are now. Stations used to opt in and out of national networks during the day for the news and for the World at One. Some regions shared programmes, and there was limited output from some stations. BBC Guernsey launched on just an hour a day this week, 25 years ago.
We are then most grateful to all concerned in the BBC for acting so expeditiously in the setting up of the station. May I say how delighted we are that Mr. George Hard, the chairman of the Board of Governors of the BBC, has taken the time and trouble to come over to the island, specially for the opening of BBC Radio Guernsey, and that he is accompanied by a number of distinguished members of the Board of Management of the BBC and of the BBC's senior staff, and in particular by Mr. Aubrey Singer, Managing Director Radio, Managing Director Television and Deputy Director General Designate, Mr. Richard Francis, Director News and Current Affairs, Managing Director Radio Designate, Mr. Michael Barton, Controller Local Radio, Mr. Duncan McEwen, Chief Engineer Radio Broadcasting, Mr. Peter Redhouse, Deputy General Manager Local Radio, and Mr. David Wayne, Regional Television Manager Southwest.
Always nice to open your station by reading out the staff list, isn't it? Complete with commas and brackets. BBC Local Radio came before local commercial radio, although it was very nearly the other way around. Keith Skews was one of the early names at Sheffield's Radio Hallam in the 70s, and this week, 43 years ago, he was appointed programme controller. Here he is in the early 80s, addressing an industry conference on music scheduling.
It's interesting to note the way people react quite violently towards oldies. Now, new material, fair enough. They'll give that the benefit of the doubt. Hearing it two or three times a day won't offend you. But up comes a golden oldie, which you couldn't stand at the time. There's no way you're going to stand it this time around either. The tolerance levels in oldies is very different to current singles, and that the rotation should be made that much faster. Some radio stations program a set of oldies for weeks. On first hearing, you think, ah, oh, that's great to hear that good old song again. But after hearing it four times within 4 days, you think, oh, my God, they're not playing that old thing again, are they?
Keith Skews suffering from a violent reaction to his oldies. Now, have you ever done a record-breaking attempt? Nor have I. Simon Mayo has, this week, 18 years ago.
Is it true?
Is what true?
Is it true that you've broken the record? It looks like you have.
That's what we're celebrating. 37 hours, the longest radio show ever in the history of the world.
Oh, everybody, brilliant. Congratulations to Simon Mayo! So how's it been? How's it been in that last hour? Tell us.
The last hour here with Pete Tong was fantastic, and that was the easiest bit because we finally realised that it was all possible. But between 3 and 6 in the morning, this morning, when everyone felt nauseous, that was really difficult.
Well, that was us.
I was just worried that I was going to throw up on Zoe Ball, which would have probably been a first and not a very pleasant
experience. Well, I think Dawn's just done that.
Simon Mayo. It's a year now since a splurge of new digital stations as the second national commercial multiplex came on air.
This is a test transmission. You have successfully retuned your radio. Full service output will commence during March.
Talk Sport has so much sport, we're running out of radio to play it.
In fact, we've got enough rugby, cricket, horse racing, boxing, motor racing and golf
for an entire other radio station.
And the thrilling games continue.
The prodigal son of all radio stations is coming to your DAB digital radio. Talk Sport 2, because sport never stops.
This is a test transmission for a brand new radio station from Magic. Welcome to Mellow Magic. Join us and enjoy timeless, relaxing classics from March 15th.
Happy birthday to Mellow Magic, one of my favourite stations at the moment, and Talk Sport 2 as well, and the list goes on. Radio 2 has a well-known policy of big names on air, and that strategy goes back some years. Alex Lester recently reminded me of John Stalker. on air because he was an ex-chief constable. And here's another well-known newspaper editor who made his way to Radio 2.
Everybody's talking. That was Harry Nilsson. And this is Derek Jameson starting a new job today in a bunker at Broadcasting House. Well, it keeps me off the streets, doesn't it? It's a bit nippy out there this morning, but things could be worse, couldn't they? I mean, you could be out in the blazing sun playing cricket against the West Indies. What about poor old Ian Botham then, eh? More of that later.
We'll also He's be just the same as Chris Evans, isn't he? Derek Jameson, who took over from Ken Bruce on the Radio 2 Breakfast Show this week 32 years ago. Well, as DCMS gets our views on the future of commercial radio licensing, let's spare a thought for poor old what was GWR in Bristol. 8 years ago, it had a regulatory yellow card for not playing enough new music. Global Radio described the regulatory intervention as extraordinary behaviour.
The best station to listen to at work. Bristol's GWR FM.
Ah, yes, good afternoon. Bristol's GWR FM playing today's best mix for you right now. It's 10 to 4 on the way. Andy B very shortly. Travel update. Also got Savage Garden and more of your favourite songs. In fact, let's do one right now, shall we? Let's go to Craig, and he's happily sitting at home, day off work today, just chilling out. And he is in West... he's in, actually, Ashton. What do you want to hear?
I'm really into dance music. Could you play that new song by Mystique?
Certainly can. This is called Wire for you right now.
The naughty GWR-FM, or GWR-FM, whatever he said. I wonder if stations get official pardons when they change the rules. So, with XFM Manchester launched by GCAP 11 years ago...
A new music station is born.
The great Tony Blackburn hosting a memorable chart 36 years ago...
Position number 26, that's a new entry, Duran Duran, and another...
And six bids being received for the third National Commercial Radio Speech Licence on AM this week, 23 years ago. Those are this week's...
Radio Moments.
Thanks, David. Thanks to Stu Clarkson and Anthony Davis. Next week, we'll be at Radio Days Europe. There'll be updates from Amsterdam throughout at radiotoday.co.uk and a podcast featuring some of the best speakers on the next Radio Today programme. This has been a TDC production. I've been Trevor Dan. Thanks for listening. Cheers.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.